the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain time rolls around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie?
Hello, welcome into episode 129 of Keating's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and there's Boogle, and Cotra's here too. And today I've got, what's a crack, coming up, the retreat, a trip around John O'Groats, me section, and we finish with the shoppy section this episode. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. All links are with the show notes, so just relax, get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you still enjoy yourselves. A sandy hello to new group members, VGW, who's from just outside Glasgow, Do Creative Things Debbie, who I think is the most wonderful person ever, Lisa T from Perth, Ontario, Canada, Falal Sun from Woomera, south of Australia, and Kessel from Melbourne, Australia, and Sarah Lou 77. Random hellos are to Jamie and Steve, who are continued to be in my thoughts and prayers, Perplexed, Louise Loves Yarn, JC Hant, and little wee Amanda Owlprint Panda, who escaped out my pocket again. That sounds really quite creepy, doesn't it? Sorry.
What's the crack, section?
Right, what's a crack? Brit Yarn. Woohoo! I can finally read out her press relief as it's near enough the time for it. She said, launching on the 2nd of June 2015, Brit Yarn is a unique online wool shop, specialising in wool grown in Great Britain. What sets Brit Yarn apart from the other stores is it is an unwavering commitment to seeking out as much information about the provenance of its yarns as possible and sharing this with its customers. Bound by its woolly principles, owner Isla Davison is committed to providing yarns and patterns which are both beautiful and inspiring while supporting UK businesses. Brit Yarn has an extensive and tempting range from Blacker Yarns, Jameson Smith, Wensleydale, Longwool, Sheep Shop, West Yorkshire Spinners, as well as hand-dyed yarns by Eden Cottage Yarns and the Knitting Goddess. In addition to popular wools such as Blueface Leicester, for those looking to expand their horizons, there are more unusual and rare breed wools. Exclusive to Brit Yarn is a range of hand-dyed colourways by Yarns from the Plain, influenced by British landmarks. To complement the range of wool available, Brit Yarn has selected knitting patterns and books, project bags and tools from British-based designers and makers. Owner Isla Davidson shared the inspiration behind Brit Yarn. After several years of avid knitting and stash building, I started to give more thought to the origin of the yarn I was using. I began to research the journey of the wool from fleece to yarn, and was fascinated by the great range of breeds, blends and producers right here in the UK. I decided, whenever possible, to focus my purchases on wool which had been grown and processed in Great Britain. It was this process which led me to want to share the knowledge and great yarns I found on my journey and with others, and Brit Yarn was born. BritYarn.co.uk will launch to the public on Tuesday the 2nd of June 2015. To be kept up to date beforehand, there is a group on Ravelry as well as a social media presence on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, she is at BritYarn, and Instagram, she is BritYarn. Isla, I wish you all the very best in your new venture. It's a really good thing that you do. It's fantastic spotlight for all things British fibre and an environmental saver too, because you'll encourage less mileage in the journey of the yarn from sheep to door. Plus, if it saves the endangered species, then it can only be a good thing. There's so many different sheep and goat and critter breeds in the UK, there's a use for all of them. From the really soft blue-faced Leicester to the hardier Jacobins, Vorpal and everything in between. We often get blown away by the colour and forget that there's a reason for every season of yarn in the shop. So I recommend if you go to Brit Yarn Isla, she can have all the colours ready so you can get blown away, but she's done all the hard work in sourcing the British yarn for you. So all the best, Isla. I've bought May's issue of Quilt Now magazine. I think I've reviewed this magazine in the past, I'm not going to do it now, but I have some material in my stash that I want to make a quilt for my bedroom from. It's the Tim Holtz Eclectic Elements collection, and it is printed maps and writing and watch faces on, etc. I really love that kind of look, and I like the way it was. I could sit in my bed with the quilt over and read things and constantly find new things. Plus, it's not girly flowery, because it's not just me in the bedroom. I have a man bear too, and it's as much as I can get away with having elephants on the other duvet, which have to be facing the right way round. I'm OCD about my elephants. If my elephants are not facing the right way, then it means the duvet is the wrong way round, and he hogs it, and I don't get a good night's sleep. I'm not a happy bear when I'm tired, let me tell you. Anyway, my point is that I bought the magazine to get some ideas for the patterns of the quilt. The pack I have is for 8 fat quarters, and this magazine has a pattern where you can get some squares of material, one on top of each other, and then you cut them all through, then you move the left-hand column, and then cut them down, and then move them and cut them down, and so in that order. I think this is called the whack and stack method, and it's where all the squares have the same cut through all of them, but they're organised in a different way. Think you have 9 squares, and the top right one is red, and then the other one, the middle right one is red, and the bottom right one is red, and then you move on to the middle column, and then the left column. So you kind of play Sudoku. Which, you know, it's actually a well-known way of organising a quilt top, is using Sudoku. And apparently quilters are quite good at Sudoku. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I read that somewhere. Or maybe I made it up, I'm not so sure. Anyway, once the retreat is over, that's my next project. There's a few nice projects in this issue, including quite a good article on paper piecing. Although it does suggest that you have a mechanical way of cutting out the material in a paper rather than the old-fashioned way of paper, scissors, rock. Oh, sorry, material. I might use paper, scissors, material next time I'm playing with the burns. That'll confuse them. Also, the gift on the front of the magazine was a wee wooden tool that is good for being a folder and a pokey tool. You can fold over material and use the wee tool to mark a crease. So think of when you fold over a piece of paper and you run your finger down the crease or your fingernail to get a really nice crease. Well, this wee piece of wood is shaped so it assists you to do this nicely. Then the crease stays in the material, which is good for you if you're about to sew it and you need to know where it's going to go. Also, when you're turning your work inside out, a lot of the time you work with your right sides together bits of material, and the seam has to be kept on the inside of the work, so you turn it inside out and the corners need a bit of persuasion to be all corner looking and pointy, especially say if it's thicker than cotton materials. So this wee tool gets into the corners and you can push the corner out back onto itself, and it looks much better and it gives a better lie. So that was Quilt Now.
Ronnie, who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. Ronnie. This Sunday is the May 10K, which starts and ends at the castle of May and Keith Ness. I've been out training quite hard for it, and I'm hoping for a time of 55 minutes. I did it in 59 last year, so it's quite a jump. But this is if it's not windy. If it's windy, I'll be happy with 58 minutes. The forecast is for rain and wind. So it'll just be like any other run that I've done recently. But as long as I have a good run, I don't mind. There's a 5K walk for everybody and a 1 mile run organised for the children while the 10Kers are out pounding the course. All the best to everyone who's entering. And can you think fast thoughts for me about 2:30 on Sunday? Ta. So watch out for Instagram photographs of me and my medal on Sunday. Or my medal and I. Grammatically correct. I have decided not to do the next triathlon in Wick because it's on the 7th of June and May was being sent getting organised for the retreat and the May 10K, and I would need to really up my fitness in swimming and cycling because it was double the last triathlon. But I have signed up for doing the Aviemore half marathon in October, and for that I have no time in mind, just roughly double and a wee bit of the 10K time, and go and enjoy it. I do enjoy running when I'm not pushing it and I'm just plodding along, listening to podcasts or chattering away with my running buddies. So if you're doing any athletic events soon, good luck and enjoy it. Or rather enjoy the photographs afterwards, which is what I do. Retreat, retreat! My retreat is next week. Well, it is if you're listening the week ending the 22nd of May. I thought I would take you on a trip from May in Caithness, where I live, to go to John O'Groats in the car. And laws were abided by, as I recorded this on a hands-free earphone thing, and I took the photographs when someone else was driving. So here you go.
Hello! I'm now in the car, on hands-free, and today it is raining. Just now, with a dark and cloud overhead, and I am just coming into the village of May on my way to John O'Groats. And the gorse and the broom has yellow flowers on, it's very pretty. And there's quite a dark kind of cloud, so it's a nice contrast. I wish like green fields, and then there's the yellow of the broom against the grey of the sky. The fields have been planted, and I'd say they're about 3 inches high. And we're just passing the sign coming up into the village of May that says M-E-Y, May. Some of you might see that picture with me standing in front of it when I had my birthday. Well, on the right we have the Hawthorns B&B, and then we will come into the small village itself. There's not very much to the village. There's, I don't know, about 40 houses in total. The old school house, the old police house, the old... I don't know if they ever had a bank, but I'm passing the Castle Arms Hotel. And there's the old hall. And there's somebody has... the old red telephone boxes, and there's a bus stop, a letterbox, a village hall, that's about it. So we're passing the high hedge that takes us to the entrance of the Castle of May. Now the Castle of May was called Barragel Castle, and it was built in the 16th century by George the 4th Earl of Caithness, George Sinclair. Can't remember if he was Rumbunctious George or Baddy George, but I'm sure he wasn't a very good George, because none of them really particularly were. But he built Barragel Castle, and in 1952, when King George died, the Queen Mother was in deep mourning, and she was up visiting people that she knew in Caithness, and they drove, took a drive around, and she was obviously freshly widowed, and she visited Barragel Castle, which was in ruins then, and she decided this would be a great boat hole to come and morgue. So she spent nearly every summer holiday in Caithness after that until her death. And then in 2002 it was open to the public, and you can go in. It's not exactly cheap, but it's very good, it's very worthwhile, especially if you're a royalist. So we've come out of the village of May, now we've come up a hill, and when I say hill, I don't mean very great big hill. It's quite a steep rise if you're on a bike. And we are now in East May. And there's a few farms, there's a B&B, and there's a cafe. Used to be called the Tea Cozy, but it's been got new owners. You've got brilliant views from up here. And if you go down to the left-hand side, just passing, you will be able to go down to the point. And at the end of that point, there is a sea stack, and it's a very, very pretty little place. Lots of heather where I fell over when we were running recently. And one's called St. John's Point, and it's got a little harbour there. And the other, there's just round the corner from there, is Scotland's Haven. And it's where, when the sailors were going round the notorious Pentland Firth, which is on my left just now, because we're heading east, I'm going from west to east, it was quite dangerous, the Strait of Water, so they would take shelter in there, and it was called Scotland's Haven. So we've come up over the brow of the hill, and on my left I can see Stroma. I'll tell you about Stroma in a wee bit, and this is coming down into Gills, which is G-I-L-L-S, and Gill means a burn, comes out into the bay. A lot of these words are from the Norse. Now, there's quite a few houses here. I can see Swedish Karen coming from her house, which is for sale. If anybody wants to buy it, it's absolutely beautiful house. And mostly farming around here, and one office, a builder. And on my right-hand side there is a new venture, and it's a almost like a tree top, but there's no trees, it's all done by metal. It's skywalking thing, you know, you hook your cell phone and walk yourself across various obstacles. So wish them well with that. Now, coming down into the dip is side the ferry. It's just where Pentland ferries go across to St Margaret's Hope in Orkney, and they have a ferry, it's a catamaran called the Pentalina A, and it is much cheaper to go from here than it is to go from Scrabster, and it's a great big role in there. There's also in Gills Bay, there's a lot of seals that kind of hang out, and there's a surfing reef as well. So we're now passing an orange house. This is Janie's house, and it is called Linkmore, which is named after a wreck of a ship that is not far off the coast round here. And then we're coming round the corner. It's a bit of a wiggly road here. On my right, the land rises a little bit, and on my left, it just goes down to the sea. And I can see lots of Jacob sheepies and lammies, because it's Sarah's house. And we're coming along to the village of Scarsbury. We're going to pass the church hall and the church itself. And in Canis Bay, they've got a school, doctor's surgery. They host the Canis Bay show, agricultural show, every year. There's a village hall. And the Canis Bay church is... where the Queen Mother used to go and worship when she was up here, and Prince Charles still does. Jan de Groot is buried there, and it's a church that you can go in and visit and have a look around. It's kind of old fashioned, but it's a really nice old church, and leave a donation if you wish. And we've passed just to the left, going down to the shoreline, is where they are taking ashore. It's going to be the Maygen project for the tidal project that is going in the Pentland Firth between here and the island of Stroma. They have to take the cables in from the devices, and they've been putting in the groundworks for the huts that they'll have to have a substation in, and it's excellent to see some work going on, because they're really the only company that are actually doing it. So now we're coming into Huna, H-U-N-A, and there's more houses in the old farm here. And this is sort of along a beach, well, Links it's called. And here we have the remains of a Pictish village, so paint your face blue. And in 975, the Earl Louver was said to be buried here, and that's where Huna takes its name for, this guy Louver. I know I've said that wrong, because I can't speak Norwegian. So, farmland, both sides of me, and there's a lot of house martins and swallows, and in some of the winter time there's a lot of geese that sit along here. And there's quite a few old knocked down ruins of wee hussies and butt bends and stuff. I'm just coming up to the last corner before John O'Groats, and it is the mill. And I know that they're trying to do up this mill. It's coming down from a burn, and it's a water mill. So there's a long street that comes into John O'Groats here, and I'll tell you about the island of Stroma. It is 2 miles off the north of Caithness, and it is a mile by half a mile wide. Its name came from island in the stream, Stromi, which is Norse, and it has a tiny wee castle on it, and they used to be completely self-sufficient there, as most villages, well, all areas would have been. There's, I'm going to say, about 70 houses, and in 1962 it became deserted because the children had to leave and go to high school, and it was quite expensive to do that, and it was really only farming. So it's now owned by a family called the Simpsons. Now, I've just come into John O'Groats. You hear the engines lulled. I'm just past the Seaview Hotel. I've gone past the Coast Guard, the fire station. There's the Seaview Hotel and B&Bs, and I've turned down towards the sea. Now, most of the houses in John O'Groats are up at the junction and further up towards Duncan's Bay Head, but the don't actually think there are any houses down here that anybody lives in. All down here is work areas. It's named after a guy called Jan de Groot, who in 1488 to 1513 built the octagonal house, like big white house that is the hotel, that the inn. I just parked in the car park and seeing a Swedish car and Naomi waving at me. And you park in the car park, you don't have to pay for it, which is good. And in the winter time, I'm the only car. And in the summertime, there's loads of people. But in the, I'm going to say 80s, there was a whole pile of little shop retail places built. And they were filled up, but because it's such a seasonal place, it didn't really do very well. So most of them I've fled are empty. But we do have a barber's, of all things. We have a candle shop. And we have got the best thing ever, which is Flavours Luxury Ice Cream and Fine Confectionery. Then we've got toilets, tourist information, the Edinburgh Woolen Mill and coffee shop, which is cracking. And over behind me, there is the caravan park and the Orkney Day Tours Wildlife Cruises ferry office. If you were to take the Pentland Venture, which goes over to Orkney and then it comes back and then it does a wildlife cruise around Stromat and then up around the stacks of Duncan's Bay. And that goes from the middle of June through to September. And the Orkney ferry goes back and forward to Orkney from the start of May. So it's started. Sadly, the wildlife cruise won't be available next week. And then we have all the chalets and the octagonal house. Well, it was a hotel and now it's the inn. It used to have a bar in it as well. It's been done up and it's absolutely beautiful inside, and all the chalets to service it with the cafe beside it. And then there is a harbour, and it's a working harbour, so if you're ever here, do take care, because there are people that are working here. They do have a resident seal. He's normally there. And there is the little housey on the pier called the First and Last. And this is sells loads of stuff. Now, don't be fooled in thinking it's all tourist crap, because it's not. There are some amazing Scottish books in there on wildlife and history. He's got a brilliant whiskey collection. And anything tartan you want, pretty much you can find it in there. But there's a lot of Scottish history, so have a good delve around and go right deep into the shop, because it doesn't just sell wee haggises, Hey Jimmy hats and postcards. Now, a little bit further in from there was the First and Last, it's a little white house, and it used to be a house, and then it was a museum, but they have since turned it into a retail shop of selling outdoor clothes for natural retreats. So there you go, it's Jonna Groats, and I better go and have coffee now. So thank you for listening.
A couple of things for the retreatee attendees to think about, other than all the screeds of information I've been fired at them recently, is, well, you might want to take your own travel mug or mug, because I've seen that at other crafty events. The chalets do have mugs, but you might want to have your own. I don't know, some people do. Also, what knitting or crafting are you taking with you? Now, I've requested we have a show and tell on Thursday night, and you can take as much or as little craft as you want. If you've never knitted in public before, I suggest that you take something that doesn't need much concentration, as you may easily make mistakes. Something that is easy knitting would be my suggestion. And cast on before you come, so make sure that you have all your notions required, your needles, etc. with you. Or a pattern you have already made and are comfortable to have in your lap. Or hand sewing you can pick up and put down without much hassle. Our vendor fair will consist of myself with all the goodies from my shop. Also, there will be Rachel from Colours of Caithness on Etsy, and she is a knitter, spinner, weaver and dyer. If you're coming north from Wick, you will see her shop and sign when you pass Auchengill, when it's called Weaving Heart. Feel free to pop in on your way up or down, of course, but she is coming to you on Friday morning. Also, there's to be the wonderful Nick from Yarns from the Plain, who is taking her trunk show on the road to us. Nick again is a knitter, spinner, weaver, dyer and crochier. And on her way north, oh, listeners from the Dundee side of the country, she is going to be having a trunk show selling her hand-dyed British yarns and fibres at Fluff in Dundee from 2 till 8 on Wednesday the 27th of May. So for further details, contact there. Fluff is at 164 Blackness Road, Dundee. And you can find their details at www.fluff.co.uk. I've opened up the vendor fair. It's quite small, isn't it? There's only three of us. Well, there are only 9 attendees, and I don't want to overwhelm them with the feeling that they simply had to buy something. So I've invited my friends and family, the Textile Artist Group, and the Caithness Quilters along that Friday morning. This will be for them, hopefully, to buy stuff and also get a coffee and cake at the Natural Retreats Cafe, and also get a nose around the complex, as us Caithnesians like a good nose, because we're nosy. And a lot of us haven't actually been in to see the old John O'Groats Hotel since it's been spruced up. And my idea is so that they can chat to the attendees and give them a different Caithness perspective on the crafting world as I know it. Because a lot of you have a lot of things in common, such as Nick likes to weave, Rachel likes to weave, Celia likes to weave, Joan would like to learn to weave, and so on. The puffins are most definitely in. We saw a pod of killer whales swim past the harbour on Monday night. Sandy noticed their fins when he was out giving Buchalin and shouted, "Orcas, orcas, orcas!" And we all went running out. They were really close to the shore and we shouted at our neighbours who were in their garden, so they got their binoculars straight out. The whales were all looking for the seals that all of a sudden were very numerous in the harbour and as far up the beach as they could get. As a family, we watched a pod of four orcas, so I named them Louise, Richard, Sandy and Dizzy Wheel. And they swam along the headland to the other side of the castle at Longueo, and then we went in and Facebooked everyone on that side of the coast, who then went out and took some marvellous photographs. And BBC Springwatch were there and have filmed them. So I don't know when it's going to air, but you too can see Louise, Richard, Sandy and Daisy orca whales swim around the shoreline of Caithness looking for seals. Now, I hope we are blessed with something this amazing next week, but I've only ever seen orcas' tails once before in all the time of year. But when you're at John O'Groats, they migrate past there quite a bit, so it's a bit more common to see them there. However, there are oodles of seabirds, seashore animals, plants that we'll be able to see that are different from the ones that you live with, attendees. I'm also almost finished making the things for the goodie bags, and I'm glad I've made enough for myself and Mum to get some, because I really like them. I will have one of the full gift bag set left over, and if it's not bought at the retreat, I'll put it in the shop, plus a few other goodies that I will tell you about next episode. Keep your eye on Instagram over the weekend for photographs of the new shop items, because they're pretty special to me. Thank you to Louise Tilbrook Designs for her generous offer of a coupon code to go into the goodie bags. I'm really sad she can't be there herself, because she would have been a splendid retreatee. Things are not to be. So she sent us coupons instead. And if anyone else wants to send a coupon code or something for the retreat, then please get in touch before Thursday the 28th. I am hoping it'll be grand, quite nervous about it. We're having an opening ceremony with a show and tell icebreaker game, which I'm trying to decide which isn't going to be the one that makes anybody uncomfortable, because not as everybody is happy to talk in a group as myself, but I want everybody to get to know each other. On the Friday, we're having the aforementioned vendor fair at 10 o'clock. And then after lunch at 2 o'clock, we'll have a small workshop hosted by the lovely Pantoffels Elsline, who will be showing us how to design and colour fabric using Sharpie pens and rubbing alcohol. Then after dinner, which is to be a takeout, we're having a dram session with Richard and I, and drinking is not mandatory, by the way. Then on the Saturday morning, Sheila of Black Elk Crafts fame is going to run a workshop on how to drop spindle, and I think she has these for sale, because I wanted her help her out after the Highland Yarn Face cancelled their workshop and she'd already bought the kits. So her kits, I believe, are going to be for sale. Then Saturday after that is free to explore Caithness, either around John O'Groats itself or go into the towns and villages and be back for dinner at the Seaview Hotel. And after that, we'll have the closing ceremony where there'll be games and prizes for the games. And no, we don't have to sing the national anthem. Then on Sunday morning, it's check out by 10 a.m. and ship out. But don't worry, if you have an afternoon plane to catch, we won't leave you stranded. I am still in charge of you until you leave Caithness. Ladies and gentlemen, if it all goes well, fingers crossed it does, because I do get a bit flighty when I'm in a panic, then we can look to next year and have another one. If I never mention it again, and it didn't go well, and I hate it. So retreatees, let's make this a brilliant weekend where you can make new friends, learn new things, get a rake of knitting done, and learn something about my county of Caithness, way up at the top corner of Scotland. And it's not called the far north for nothing. Remember, you get to Inverness, you're looking at 2.5 hours.
The swap section.
Swap. We have a swap going for the Terry Pratchett theme. I would be delighted if you could join us, there's still time. Your package has to be themed around all things Discworld. Also, Alzheimer's funding merchandise has to be included too. I don't think I say that right, but that's how I say it in my head. I think it would be nice to make some kind of fundraising because, well, it was Alzheimer's that stole Sir Terry from us, and I know for a fact that there's a wonderful Anne Hill quilting pattern book out on Alzheimer's Scotland website. I have linked to the Alzheimer's websites for you to find something from, even if you just put a little donation to the Alzheimer's and receipt it to your swapee. Your package must be themed around your partner. You must pay attention to your partner's likes, dislikes, quirks and desires. It helps to ask and answer questions and to pay attention to their wish list. I will send out a questionnaire to each swapee on the 1st or 2nd of June. Your package must contain one large item, one medium item and two small items. The total value of these items must be between £20 to £25 and does not include shipping or materials for your handmade. Now, your package must also contain a handmade item. Your handmade item should be the main part of the package. Your handmade item can be sewn, beaded, embroidered, whatever, as long as the work was done by your hands and has been made with your swapee in mind. It should take at least 3 to 4 hours to complete, and you are not limited to just one handmade, and it doesn't have to be the biggest, the largest or the smallest item. It could be any of them. You are required to complete regular check-ins for the swap. If you miss one check-in, you will receive a warning and a 1 week grace period. You will be removed from the swap if you miss or are late for 2 check-ins. Signing up for the swap means you're committing to these rules. Please do not sign up unless you're sure you can hold up your end of the swapping arrangement. Then you have to private message me when you have shipped, and if you have delivery confirmation if you're shipping internally. Please post on Ravelry and the thank you thread when you have received. The check-in dates are June the 1st, the questionnaire will go out. June the 15th, the first quarter check-in. June the 30th, the midway check-in. July the 13th is the final quarter check-in, and July the 28th status update shipping deadline. Packages must ship by the July the 28th. If you're shipping domestically, delivery confirmation is mandatory. That's a bit dim. I think a sending parcel receipt will be more than sufficient. So far there's not been a big sign up, but I know who signed up are good swappy types. The Granny Weatherwax look will not be required for any of them. But if you're interested, please do go and sign up for this, because imagine getting this box in the post. Oh, it'll be wonderful. Now, I've started reading The Light Fantastic to Sandy, and I read Mort myself, and also I'm now reading Equal Rights myself, and I will read these to Sandy in order once we get to them. I think it's good to have a little break in between books, though, because otherwise things get a little bit too samey. But I just now, I am loving Granny Weatherwax. She's amazing. A little esk. He does write really quite good female protagonists, doesn't he? Yeah. And also, there was talk on the Ravelry thread about bookcases and the Pinterest of bookcases. Just, oh, blow your mind. Don't think these people live in the real world, though. Or they just do it and then take the photograph, and then it's as messy as my bookcase the rest of the time. So coming up, moving on. Highland Wool Fest is Saturday. It has been held in Dingwall Mart on the 23rd of May. I really enjoyed it last year. You can find their group on Facebook as Highland Wool Fest. The vendor list is now up and is really good all-round showcase of all things Highlands of Scotland. And of course there's a few further afield, i.e. the Yarn Garden, Louise and George, and then there's Strathairn, Fleece and Fibre, to name a few. Helen of Ripple's Craft is going to be there, and Kincraig's Fabrics from Brora is fantastic. I'm still debating about whether I'm going to manage it because it's the Maytown Cave Race and with visitors. However, I would recommend this event if you're closer to the place or you just fancy a really good day out. Go to the cafe and get some cake with the trowel. I demand the trowel. Leeds Yarn Fest is approaching too on the 6th of June at the Leeds Industrial Museum. I was on Instagram the other day and saw somebody had taken a photo of it being advertised on a bus stop and they were going to go to it. And I felt a pang of, oh, if only I was going, it sounds amazing.
The beaker section.
Me section. I have a finished object. Woohoo! Finally! I finished the Totally Vanilla Socks by Cookies Socktopus book and I used the Gnome Acres Wabbit Season Duck Season for Sandy. I have them on my Ravelry page as listed with photographs. Although the photographs have Buchel on them. No, he didn't chew them because I laughed at that. You were looking to see what he'd done to the socks. I finished them when Sandy was in bed and I just used Buchel as a model. And I put them on his head and beside them and he wasn't bothered in the slightest. He's very, very sweet when he's asleep. So this yarn, I've got loads left. It's really nice to work with. It's got a high twist and it doesn't split easily. And I used toothpick needles. I think they were size 2.2mm or 2.25, something tiny anyway. But I needed to get the right gauge and sturdy texture of material because Monkey Boy will wear them quite a lot. So they needed to be quite thin. I didn't wash them prior to giving them to him. Shock horror, you perfect knitters are all falling over. Right, I'll be Kate. But once he wore them, he handed me to them straight away, off his feet, smelly little feet, and he demanded that they be hand washed because he said I shrunk the last ones in the wash, which I didn't, and I pointed out to him that his feet grew. Now, the yarn is superwash merino and can be machine washed, but I just put them in a basin of warmish water and some wool wash soap powder. Now, I know I own soak, but A, it was upstairs, and B, I'm keeping that for lace blocking. And the socks really took all of 5 minutes to wash and squish the water out on a towel and lay them on the radiator to dry. There was a wee bit of dye that came out the process, but nothing that offended me, nothing that maybe I could do a citrus dye rinse for. And if you wonder what one of those is, I have a link to the Knitmore Girls where it's discussed in great length. So my needles were still. I have hand grinds to cast on all the things, but two things are stopping me. For the patterns I have already printed, the yarn is not wound. And for the yarn I have wound, the patterns are not printed. I have got my yarn winder back from my mum's house, where it was beginning to become an ornament. I have decided I won't be casting on a new project every day in May, nor every week in May, but I'm revisiting my two work in progresses. One being the Owl's Jumper by Kate Davis, and the other being the Beginner's Lace Shawl from the Tilly Thomas Symphony of Lace Yarn. Can you remember that? Yes, that's from last summer. The latter needs more stitch markers put on, and I know, or I think, I had made a mistake somewhere, so it needs some brain matter worked on it. The Owl's Jumper it is then. Can do that. I'm now on the knit until you get to the length you need it for your arms stage. So I've got 3 inches to go on the first one. It's sitting on top of my yarn bowl and I really love looking at it. The yarn I'm using is New Lanarkey Chunky in the colour name Pebble and it's a dark marled grey. Won't be getting it finished for the retreat, I can see. In fact, I might not even take it to the retreat because I need something that doesn't need much attention to it and I don't want to get my owls all mixed up. That is if I actually get any knitting for the retreat because I expect I'll be on my feet a lot. Now, did I tell you, this is another one, Buchel chewed through my green fleece top that I bought when I was in the United States last year. When I was in America, I keep saying that, such a big impression on me. I had it left the green fleece sitting on the couch one night, and one day he had some dog biscuits in the pocket, and, well, I think he smelt those, and instead of going in through the zip, like normal dogs would, he just went straight through it, right through it, from one side to the other, and it was right beside the zip. So I patched it front and back using some old jeans of Sandy's and a wee rose design from one of Daisy's old tops when she was petty. So I looked at ordering another one, and Richard went, "How much?" So I didn't. But then I sold some bags, and my brother gave me some birthday money, and I went and bought the same top, but in purple. Now, I love this top. I would wear it every day if I could. So I know it's going to be worth the money. It's well made, it's warm, it's very nicely fitted, it suits my shape. I love the colours, and I would buy 5 of them if I could afford it. So this purple top was delivered this week, and I've told Bugalov it is off limits, and I'm careful about where it gets left on the couch now. So learning by my mistake. Anyway, the crafty point is, are you bored with the clothing chat now? I wonder, yes, you're still awake, are you? Be awake! Well, in the past 2 weeks, now, this is a nice bit. It's arrived a skein of yarn from the very, very lovely and generous Helen HFG. And it was a really bonny purple. The perfect purple for this new top. And I do wear purple quite a bit, you see. And the reason that she'd sent it was because Dee of Posh Yarns had asked for name suggestion for her new dyed lots, and Helen had suggested that it be called the Cagney to my Lacey, in honour of Louise Scully and I's Cagney and Lacey banter. And that's a direct quote from me. I have yarn from my coat. How cool is that? Cooler than Pingu's feet. So that's Posh Yarns, and she also sent one to Louise Scully as well. So we were trying to decide on what pattern to make with it. I kind of want to make a cowl to match the purple top. So I have the most beautiful cowl to match the green top that I had, generously gifted to me by Perplexed on Twitter when she sent me some inks and fountain paints last year. And this is the Moonraker shawl by Courtney Robinson. And she'd made mine using Manasta Uruguay Fino. This pattern has beads in it, and it was the first project she'd ever beaded on, which makes it very special. I've worn it a lot because I wear the green top a lot, and I think I get a lot of use out of the purple version. Perplexed thinks that it would be okay with or without the beads, but as she had beads in hers, beads in mine now. And I know I have some purple beads left over from the dragonfly shawl I made, so I'll see if they go okay. Now, whilst looking up information, I know that Perplexed has got a free published pattern on Ravelry, which is for a stranded colourwork mitten, which you mitten types might want to have a go and look at. The name of it is Let's Come Together by Dee Dodson. I'll link it to in the show notes, of course. So, think of you, Twinset Ellen and Knitting Dish Mary, stranded mittens, way beyond me, of course. Perplexed is such a lovely person. I think she deserves a bit of love back. So go love her pattern. And thank you so much, Helen, and again, Perplexed. At Textiles, we started the Fleece to Fibre project. Shirley and I took along our drop spindles, and I took along a bit of Cheviot fleece, and we muddled through drop spindling. I did suggest that we all went along to Sheila's workshop, but alas, some of them can't make it, and some of them are really interested. Catherine made some really nice balanced yarn, and we decided again, I actually knew this, but they had to realise it for themselves, that it's all in the preparation for the fibre. She quietly sat and teased out into a long strand a bit of yarn, which was easier for her to spin. They were quite taken by the niddy-noddy, and it actually turns out I've forgotten how to use the hand corders. Plus, I'd taken my spinning wheel, and when I took it out, I realised I had no flyer in the bag, so I just put it back again and took my spinning wheel for a trip to Wick. I often do that with my sewing machine when I go to sewing these. Spend the whole time talking and cutting and sorting, and then there's no time to actually sew. So there was no time to actually spin, or I couldn't. They all pretty much got the hang of the spindle and came away with a little yarn to dye, and we're going to do it again next week. I have finished my Friendship Star quilt. My hand stitching has turned out pretty well, and it's almost invisible because the binding is sewn on the front, as I mistakenly sewed it into the back. And it is now the quilt on the couch, as I gave Mum the jelly roll quilt, that one that Buchel chewed. Get the theme? And she said she'd see what she could do, although she's spring cleaning just now, so I'm not expecting it anytime soon.
Shoppy section.
The shoppy is stocked. There's some currently some McLean. Actually, Durvla from Blaster Podcast is a McLean. Big hint. And there's some Gordon, some Farquharson Tartan, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, and one ancient freezer bag left just now. I have more of it to make though. All of this is going to go along with me to the vendor fair at the retreat, and plus there'll be other bits and pieces that will come into the shop in the next episode. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go and visit www.etsy.com/shop/caithnesscraft. Now, I would mention a bit more stuff that I've made, but because it's for the goodie bags, and I think it's only fair that my retreat attendees who've paid for this privilege see them first, I'll tell you all about it next episode. So I'll have more crafty talk to tell you about.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010 via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side of that page. The music is from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go and buy this at www.musicalley.com. The Bookaline is from Bookal the Puppy. The Heavy Breeding is from Quattro. Thank you for listening. Keep on crafting.
To poor wild mountain time all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. We go.